ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नस्तापृशः पात्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। कृष्णे स्वात्म पागते धर्मज्ञानिभिः सह कालौ नस्तिषां मेषा पूर्णार्कोतु नोदितः। क्रान्तराक्षिमपागतां कीचाय read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 7th chapter, text 13. Yaha parameshtyam adishanam adithishtam na kanchana pratyutthishtet iti pruyor dharmam te na param Vidu ya parameshtyam tishanam iti tishtam na kanchana pratyutishtet iti pruyor dharmam tena param vidu ya parameshtyam tishanam Adittishtan nakanchana pratyuttishtet iti pruyor dharmantena param viduhu. Ya parameshtyam dishanam
adittishtan nakanchana
kanchana anyone who parameshtyam royal dishanam throne means royal throne atitishtan sitting on na not kanchana anyone pratutishtet should rise before iti thus pruyo those who say dharmam the courts of religion te they na not param higher. Vidu, no. Translation purport, Raistavan Kresila Prabhupada Ki Chai. If a person says, one who is situated on the exalted throne of a king should not stand up to show respect to another king or a brahmana, it is to be understood that he does not know the supreme religious principles, superior religious principles. If a person says, one who is situated on the exalted throne of a king should not stand up to show respect to another king or a brahmana, it is to be understood that he does not know the supreme or superior religious principles. Purport. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, in this regard, that when a president or a king is sitting on his throne, he does not need to show respect to everyone who comes within his assembly. But he must show respect to superiors like his spiritual master, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. There are many examples of how he should act. When Lord Krishna was sitting on his throne and Narada fortunately entered his assembly, even Lord Krishna immediately stood up with his officers and ministers to offer respectful obeisances to Narada. Narada knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna knew that Narada was his devotee. But although Krishna is the Supreme Lord and Narada is the Lord's devotee, the Lord observed the religious etiquette. Since Narada was a brahmachari, a brahmana, and an exalted devotee, even Krishna, while acting as a king, offered his respectful obeisances unto Narada. Such is the conduct visible in the Vedic civilization, a civilization in which the people do not know how the representative of Narada and Krishna should be respected, how society should be formed, and how one should advance in Krishna consciousness, a society concerned only with manufacturing new cars and new skyscrapers every year and then breaking them to pieces and making new ones, may be technologically advanced, but it is not a human civilization. A human civilization is advanced when its people follow the Chaturvarna system, the system of four orders of life. There must be ideal first-class men to act as advisors, second-class men to act as administrators, third-class men to produce food and protect cows, and four-class men who obey the three higher classes of society. One who does not follow the standard system of society should be considered a fifth-class man. A society without Vedic laws and regulations will not be very helpful to humanity, as stated in this verse, Dharmam te na param vidu. Such a society does not know the aim of life and the highest principle of religion. Yak paramestyam dishanam adittishtan na kanchana pratyutishtet iti bruyor dharmam tena paramvidu. If a person says one who is situated on the exalted throne of a king should not stand up to show respect to another king or a brahmana, it is to be understood that he does not know the superior religious principles. Om Agyatim Aranyasya Ganachana Salakayam Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these words of regret, these are words of regret by King Indra, Indradev, the principal demigod in Svarga Loka. So Indra is a position. It means the king. His name is Purandar. Purandar Indradev. So he's in this time, right now, he's in charge for the heavenly planets. So he's the king of heaven. And as such, he has the right to sit on his throne. He's worshipped by Apsaras, Gandharvas, other demigods who sing all about his glories. For this purpose, Veda, especially Rig Veda, gives a glorification about Indradev. as he would be the Supreme Lord himself. So sometimes a demigod, one of the principal demigods, are sometimes also addressed as Bhagavan, or also glorified as they would be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this case, when the Vedas glorify Indra, it means he's a representative of the Supreme Lord. Because one cannot become a principal demigod or a king or a leader of society without having the power of the Lord. So that means the Lord, by the Lord's mercy, one attains a certain position. It is not by election of the people, of the society. We only have sense gratification in the head or as interest. So the Supreme Lord is empowering a qualified person to be the king of heaven, the king of earth, or even the creator of the universe, like Lord Brahma, the principal Parameshti. Actually, Parameshti is a name, a title of Brahma. Brahma is Parameshti. He is the supreme demigod. He's sitting on the highest throne, and even Indra and all other demigods, they are worshipping him. So somebody who is representing Brahma, the creator of the universe, who is empowered by the Supreme Lord, and who is representing also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in heaven, for he can sit on the Parameshti Trishna. What's it called? Parameshti Dishanam, on the royal throne, who the representatives of the supreme authority of the universe, Brahma, is sitting. So similarly, we also have Yasasan, where the guru, representative of Sri Vyasadev, is sitting. So anyone who is sitting on a very, very elevated throne or seat, he has to represent not his interest or his ideas or what he has in mind, but he has to represent the interest of the superior authority. Otherwise, we cannot take up a position on any throne, on a king's throne, on a demigod throne, on a Vyasasan seat or throne. So one has to represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his interest. And what is the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that everyone can stay or live happily and peacefully in the world, even in this material world. But unfortunately, due to the modes of material nature, especially tamaguna and rajaguna, sattvaguna is mostly peaceful. But the problem, even if one is in sattvaguna, in the mode of goodness, still, because it is not transcendental mode of goodness, it is not Vishuddha Sattva or Vasudev Sattva, it is ordinary goodness, material goodness. And therefore, material goodness in itself never can exist alone without sometimes becoming influenced of rajas or tamas. So therefore, even the demigods were mainly situated in the mode of goodness, become sometimes overpowered by the mode of passion, rajas. Tama not so much, demigods. They are not so much influenced by tamas, but rajas can influence their activities or their mentality. Actually, it's the mentality who becomes influenced by the modes of nature. The mind, the heart, this is very subtle, very sensitive sense, this mind. So the mind very easily can become influenced of the modes of material nature. Because originally the mind is in mode of goodness, the beginning of creation. Intelligence in the mode of passion, the senses and the sense objects and the material creation itself, the elements are in the mode of ignorance, therefore they're called tama. So the mind is in goodness, so therefore easily he can become agitated by any mode or any program he comes in contact with it. If he comes in contact with blue color, he becomes blue. If he comes in contact with red, he becomes reddish. If he becomes in contact with white or yellow, he's taking that color. It's like the water. Water also carries programs of different colors or impressions with him. But water itself never becomes impure. Can all the time become purified by filtering it. So the mind in itself can actually not become impure. It becomes only temporary impure. Therefore, there's the process of yoga. The process of yoga to purify the mind, to purify the senses, so that the senses and the mind can become transcendentally situated in the Vishuddha-sattva stage. As Shiva told, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva-shaptitam, the stage where one can perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's called Vasudev-sattva or Vishuddha-sattva. But because Indradev and everyone who is in this created material world is in contact with the material nature, somehow or other, even Brahma, they can become influenced sometimes by the modes of nature, lower modes, tama and rajas. That means lust and greed. And all these symptoms can become manifested sometimes, temporary. In Indradev, if it is the case, it's temporary become manifest. Like in connection with this story now, of Indra, how he neglected or ignored his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Brihaspati is very, very well known as the spiritual master of the heavenly planets, of all the demigods headed by Indradev. He's in very high position. He's very highly regarded by all the demigods as the principle of all the brahmanas and spiritual authorities in heaven. Therefore, Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita that Brihaspati represents him in heaven as the brahmana and guru of the demigods, like Indra. So that means Brihaspati is representing the power of Krishna's knowledge. He's absorbed in Vedic knowledge, like no one else in heaven or in the world. He's very learned. He's a Brahmana. A Brahmana, he has six occupations. He studies the Veda and he teaches the Vedas. And it's called Yachana, 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 Patana, 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 Patana. He learns scriptures and he teaching. He performs yagya, Yachana, 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 Yachana. That means he is himself expert in Vedic rituals, in the mantras, in oblations, performing Vedic sacrifices. And he is also able to teach others to practice the same thing. He's a teacher, he's guru. Teacher means guru. By his own example, by his own practice, by his own knowledge. And the other two occupations are dana and pratigraha. That means he gives in charity and is accepting in charity. So these are the six occupations of a brahmana. And the brahmana also is not somebody who is born just as a brahmana, but he doesn't have the brahminical qualification. So that we know from scriptures. So a brahmana is he who knows Brahman. That's the main realization or a main thing that actually makes out who is a brahmana and who is not a brahmana. So if a brahmana is not knowing the supreme Brahman, then he's actually not a real brahmana. Then he's only a brahmana by birth and wearing a brahman thread. And maybe has a big belly accordingly, because he has to eat a lot of yajna sacrifice food. So he gets a big belly. So brahmana has to be recognized by a very white, thick brahmana thread and a very nice built body with a big belly. In Kali Yuga especially, this is a brahmana. That's how we can recognize a brahmana. But you know, brahman should not be realized in the stomach, in the belly. Brahman has to be realized, you know, in his heart. Brihaspati, he's a self-realized brahmana. That means he knows Brahma. Brahman jana iti brahmana. He who knows Brahman, he is a brahmana. And if he actually is not knowing Brahman, then he's not a brahmana. So as we know, Parabrahman is Krishna. He's also Brahman, but he's the Parabrahman. If we speak about Krishna, he's Parabrahman, or Vishnu, the Parabrahman. And the Lord has three aspects, and all these three aspects are all Brahman. So either a Brahmana has to be realized in Brahman, in the effulgence of the Lord, that means in Sat, that he knows what is spiritual, what is eternal, and he knows what is material. He knows how to act and how not to act, because he is very much realized in the Vedic literature, in Shastra, and he's very much realized in the Shastra. So therefore he is able to understand by vigyan, also by realization, by the power of this knowledge, to distinguish what is sat and what is asat. So therefore the brahmana either realizes Brahman, the eternal Brahman, or he realizes the paramatma aspect of the Lord as the supersoul, that's also Brahman, and he also realizes the supreme personality of Godhead, either of them. So if somebody realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu or Krishna, then he is considered Vaishnava. Then he is even better than a Brahmana, who only knows Brahman. So, but in either way, anyone of those authorities of a Brahminical culture has to be respected, has to be... That cannot be ignored. That's not possible. That's against the Vedic principle. It's against the standard that Lord Krishna himself has established. Because he established a standard as the head of the society, even from the beginning of creation, Brahma. Brahma is the supreme Brahmana. So, and he also established through Brahma the Brahminical culture. That means the Brahmana statues became manifest. Then the Kshatriyas, the administrators from the arms. Then the Brahmanas from the head. The Vaishyas from the tides. sometimes from the belly we hear, but mostly from the tide, from the Lord, or from Brahma also, and the Shudras from the legs. So in this way, the Chaturvarna Mayashishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasa, the Lord manifested these four Varnas and also the Ashramas to create an ideal civilization for the entire universe. So the Varnashram is not only on the earth, it is all over the universe established. So it's a universal system that is always functioning in the material world. And it's interesting, even in the spiritual world, in Dwaraka, Krishna is still the king. We hear this from Priha Bhagavatamrita. And Uddhava thinks, I'm his minister. I have to serve him. Therefore, Narada was very funny, made remark. Oh, when he heard from Uddhava, that Krishna is acting as a king, even in Dwaraka, in the spiritual world, in Goloka, and that Uddhava also is engaging in that system, king system of the Yadus. They consider themselves still Yadus. And he made a funny remark, oh, you are Kshatriyas, even in the spiritual world, you are Kshatriyas. You cannot give it up. So that means this Varna, it's not necessarily material, it is also spiritual, because even the Lord is taking part in this Varna and Ashrama system. He is acting as the ideal king in Dwaraka, or he is a cowherd boy in Vrindavan eternally. That means the Varnashram system is always going on, even in the spiritual world and in the material world. It is an eternal system, like Ekadasi. Ekadasi is also considered eternal. It's an eternal religious principles, where everyone, all the Varnas and Ashramas have to follow and to respect. We cannot ignore it and think or consider, I'm transcendental to Ekadasi. I'm transcendental to the Varnashram. Yeah, in one sense, we can be transcendental to Varnashram if we become completely connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service. But still, we can see in Lord Chaitanya's associates that still, to give an example, these associates, even Lord Chaitanya himself, respected the Varna and the Ashrama system. Therefore, many of these devotees were situated in the society, either as Brahmanas, either as Kshatriyas, either as or Shudras or Vaishyas, or even untouchables. Lord Chaitanya included or accepted everyone in the Sankirtan mission. And even when they became elevated to be his devotees, to be Vaishnava, to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, still they kept their standard and their duties in the Varnashram. So it was not given up, it was not rejected. So the Lord himself, he's a very, very strict follower of his own system. Because Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, if I would not set the standard of Achara and act as Acharya, then the whole world would follow the bad example, the bad conduct, if I would set the standard for bad conduct. Therefore, Krishna is the supreme authority, so he's the supreme acharya. Therefore, he also gives his achara, his example. Acharya means achara. He gave example by his own practice. That's also why Lord Chaitanya came. He came to show by his own example how to practice devotional service, the Yuga Dharma in the age of Kali Yuga. And as such, if one is a follower of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to respect him as such and follow this system, respecting this system, and also in this way worshipping the Lord. That's described also. If we are neglecting the Varnashram system, then the society glides down to hell. If the Varnashram system is followed, Svanustatasya Dharmasya, Samsidhim, Haritoshanam. Actually, Varnashram is meant to give Haritoshanam, to give satisfaction or pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, everyone in this society of Varnashram is meant to give Haritoshanam, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not our senses. As long as we are accepting a system and our position, and we don't use it for satisfaction of the Lord, for Haritoshanam, then our mentality is gliding down to hell. It becomes more and more influenced by ignorance, tamasa. That means that's how the world is built up. The world is built up that we become elevated. But we have to follow a system to become elevated. And this system is not self-invented by us human brains. The system is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He establishes the system. He giving us the escalator. He manifests the escalator, how we can become uplifted and ultimately attain the spiritual world, to become his eternal associate. So we cannot establish our own system. We cannot establish our own process. The Lord, from very beginning of creation, he took care for everything. Because he's a supreme intelligent, supreme intelligent person, and he empowered Brahma to establish this whole material establishment and also universal affairs and the system to become purified, to become elevated if you follow, and you also will become degraded if you don't follow. That's how this world is set up. Because it's not our world. It is Krishna's world. Even the material world is Krishna's energy. And it is meant for the rebellious conditioned souls who like to be separated of the Lord to enjoy. But the Lord knows this independent enjoyment of the Lord's interest. It's temporary. Ultimately, they will regret. They will have to go through so many miseries. They have to encounter so many problems in their life. They have to go through so many tapakari, so many difficulties. That's why Sanatana Goswami, the first question is, when he came to Lord Chaitanya, with the straw in the mouth, he offered Dandava Pranam to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he met him. And he asked in a very humble way, "Oh my dear Lord, I came to you because people consider me very intelligent. They consider me very intelligent, and my problem is I even believe it. Although I'm actually consider myself a great fool because I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am, what is my position, and why I have to suffer in this material world. And as long as I don't know who I am, and as long as I cannot come out of suffering, if I'm miserable in this material world, then how I can actually become benefited? Not possible. I cannot become benefited. Therefore, I came to you with a straw in the mouth in Trinada Bisanechana, in very humble mood, and beg you, please instruct me." That's the way how one approaches spiritual authority. It's not a joke. It's not just a fun. So we have to accept authority and to get transcendental knowledge. Tatvidhi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya. upadekshanti te jnanas, jnaninas tattvadarshina. So we have to approach a spiritual authority and ask relevant question. No joke. Not fun. It's the most serious thing in life to ask questions about the absolute truth. Why I'm suffering? Who I am? Why I'm in this material world? What is my position? What is my duty? And then if this is established, becomes clear by authority, then we can actually become fortunate. Then we can become happy. Then we become elevated. And feel eternal connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Well-Wisher. So Krishna established this Brahmana system, Brahminical culture system, headed by the Brahmanas. They're the head of the society. All other parts can be replaced. Every part of the society is important, but the head cannot be replaced. The head cannot be cut off. The head cannot be crazy. The head cannot be confused. The head has to be clear. He has to have the vision. He has to know in which direction to go. Then everything in the body, all the other parts of the body are healthy. They're functioning properly. But in case the head starts to spin around, then the body is also spinning around. And that's the situation now in Kali Yuga, because the head is lost. There's no proper vision. People are blind and the leaders are blind, and they're all following the blind leader, so they go in catastrophe. Because the leader in false ego, he thinks, just follow me. You are blind, I'm blind, it doesn't matter, but I'm in power now, I have the money. So just follow me, and I will support you. But what will be the result? It's catastrophe. So, therefore, andhayant andhayar upaniyamana setisha tantra urudhamni bhata. As Rishabhadev is pointing out, if the blind following blind leaders, then we fall down to tamaguna and to hellish conditions of life. And that's how the whole world is heading now in this direction, because they don't following and respecting Brahminical culture. They're slaughtering cows. They're not following the real Brahmanas who have enlightenment of the Supreme Word and what is eternal, what is beneficial for the people. They have no knowledge, but still they consider themselves knowledgeable. But actually this knowledge is ignorance, and ignorance is bliss for the ignorant. But for those in goodness, it's not bliss at all, it's miserable. Therefore, great devotees are crying, they're lamenting, they feel compassion. Their heart breaks when they see that the whole world is suffering due to ignorance. This Brahminical culture has to be, therefore, established. That Prabhupada mentioned many times. He wants to establish Brahminical culture. He wants to establish Brahmanas. That's the beginning. Brahminical culture doesn't start from Shudra, from the worker class, or from the Vaishyas who have the money. It is established from the head. And therefore, the Brahminical system is established from higher authority. Coming down from the system of Parampara, they establish Brahminical culture, they establish education, they give us knowledge, they give us process, sadhana, they show us the sadhya, the goal, everything they give. Only we have to learn how to follow respectfully and accepting, thankful this system, and not speculate, oh, this system is not for me, I'm only meant for chanting Hare Krishna. But how long you will chant Hare Krishna if you don't follow a system that is established by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You cannot neglect. You cannot worship the God Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and in the same time be ignoring what the Lord has given. So the Lord has given us the system. He has given us the whole process. And therefore, it's not only done by chanting Hare Krishna. It is also done to respect the system. And the personalities who are taking part in the system. So this is a very important factor, etiquette. We're learning Vaishnava etiquette. But practically, who knows Vaishnava etiquette nowadays? How to respect the devotees? We should respect all living entities, but especially we should respect also higher devotees, who are brahmanas, who are established in the knowledge of the absolute truth. Because those who are giving us the knowledge, they're most worshipable. Even in the material society, those who are instructors, those who have political knowledge, economical knowledge, any kind of knowledge, you know, of material basic, psychological knowledge, they're respected. They're paid with high amount of money. They get huge salaries for just speaking 1 or 2 hours. Why they're so highly paid? For nothing? No, because knowledge is the most valuable thing what we can actually achieve. And only as a human being we can absorb this knowledge and act according to this knowledge. Animals cannot, but humans can, and demigods can. And therefore everyone is very eager, should be very eager to receive this knowledge. Otherwise, how long we go on chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and sitting around and always chanting whole day with the feedback like that in kirtan time, in lecture time, in working time, in any time, you know, we always have chanting only important. Okay, that's very nice, but without action, without devotional service and devotional attitude, our chanting is not appreciated. It's not appreciated by the Supreme Lord, because we need etiquette, we need respect. We have to give respect to Bhagavatam speaker, we have to give respect to the kirtan, and not mix everything together, and so we can do everything in the same time. Nowadays it's popular not to come to classes anymore. I stay at home and listen to class by radio, and in the same time I can do my computer work, and my household work, and children care. Okay, that's very nice. It's very nice. Because otherwise we anyway have no time to come. We have no time. We always have a tendency to not come to the temple, not taking part in the programs, because we have more important things to do. Anyway, I don't want to be political, so I only want to make a little remark. Ultimately, we are all responsible. And not know what to do. I don't want to give instruction. Sorry. Krishna himself, as Prabhupada is pointing out, is giving example how to protect the Brahminical culture. And he didn't establish only the protection of Brahminical culture as an autocrat, you know, who is aloof of it. So everyone has to follow, but I'm not, because I'm the creator of the system. But he himself becomes a part of the system. That's the wonderful thing. The Supreme Lord himself becomes a part of the system. He becomes a king. He becomes a cowherd boy. He acts in different ways, you know, to give example that others can follow the conduct of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Authority. And this Krishna is so wonderful that he even bows down to his own devotees. He worships his own devotees, like Narada. Prabhupada is pointing out Narada coming sometimes to Dwaraka. Narada is the greatest of sages, representative of Brahma and Parampara in the universe. Everyone knows him. Everyone respects him in the whole universe. But even Krishna himself respects Narada, and he comes to his palace as a visitor to see how Krishna is living, to get darshan of Krishna, because Narada is always nectar hunter. He wants to see different pastimes, witness different pastimes of the Lord. So then Krishna immediately notices Brahma. Although he's surrounded by maybe his very beautiful wife, servants, ministers, entourage, opulences, and he's sitting on his royal throne of a king. Still, as soon as Narada Muni arrives, or any other great sage, immediately rises up from his seat, offers his obeisances, his pranam to that sage, and invites him with pleasant words, welcoming him, svagatam, svagatam, dear sage, be welcome in humble way, please take your seat, idam asanam. So offering him seat, but the same thing what we do to the Lord, greeting the Lord, inviting the Lord to take on the seat before we worship him. So Krishna is doing himself with the brahmanas, with the sages, because he knows the sages are the living pilgrimage places. When Krishna was in Kurukshetra with his family for a pilgrimage there, solar eclipse time, many, many sages from all over the universe that came to see Krishna and Balaram. But what Krishna was, doing, Krishna taught for his own family members, how to worship, and also for him, himself, because he is the religion personified. For his own interest, because he plays the role of an ordinary personality to give example to others. He greeted them. He offered obeisances to them, offered prayers to them. He worshipped them, offering them girlands, chandan, achman, argya. All this is what we do for deity is also done for receiving great personality who is Brahmana. So Krishna himself did it, and he told, very important. If we don't worship the Brahmanas, then what is the use of our deity worship? What is the use of our temple? What is the use of all our culture? They cannot purify us. They will not purify us if we are neglecting the Brahmanas. If we are neglecting the living devotees. Then even if we worship the deities. Of course, that time, deities means mostly they worship the demigods. Surya, and other deities like that. But in any way, Krishna established, even if you only worship the deity, but not the devotees, if you are not respecting the devotees, we are ignoring them, then this is not very good. It will not purify us. Fire cannot purify us. Air cannot purify us. The deities will not purify us. A holy place will not purify us. Taking bath in a holy place will not purify you. Going on pilgrimage and parikrama hundreds of times, it will not purify us if we are not respecting the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas, and also the seniors, the respectable personalities, Guru Varga. Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj, early in the morning when he arrived, that's established. He was a king. He was emperor in that time. So what he did?
Huh?
What he did. What Yudhisthira Maharaj did before he performed any other duty. He went to the Brahmanas, offered respectful obeisances, and gave them some oblation, some offering, some gift of cow, garland, nice words. He went to his parents, grandparents, even to Dhritarashtra, to his wife, to his aunt, Gandhari. Every morning he had this habit to greet and to worship and to give respect to the Guru Varga, to the senior, even though they were not in transcendental position, but they were senior. Therefore, they are respectable. What was Arjuna's argument? I don't want to fight against Bhishma, Drona like that, because they are my seniors, they are Guru. They are my teachers. How can I kill them, oh my Lord? So his argument was very reasonable from the point of view, but of the Dharma Shastra and Artha Shastra, it was very reasonable. But because they were aggressors, or they were supporting aggressors, therefore Krishna decided they also have to be punished. So they have to give example, but they deviated. They deviated from the principle of Dharma. So they offended their offenders, their attackers, they're supporting this attack, they tolerated it, so therefore they also have to face the war. They have to be punished. So even Krishna decided that authorities like Drona and Bhishma, even they had to be punished because they didn't follow the conduct proper of Vedic standard. So Krishna is setting himself the standard to his family members, in Kurukshetra, to worship the Brahmanas is higher than the worship of the Lord, or any other element who is purifying this world is more important than to visit holy place. Because if we visit a holy place or live in a holy place, but we don't respect the inhabitants who are very saintly personalities on the holy place, then we are committing offense. Then that's not the real benefit of visiting holy place. That's stated by Krishna, supreme authority. So the holy place, a tirtha, is the living devotees who are in the tirtha. That makes the tirtha. Otherwise, the tirtha only to take a bath or to go on parikrama, and without associating and without respecting the devotees and the spiritual authorities in that place, it's like cow and ass who's going on around and living in such a place. So this lesson we can learn here from Bhagavatam. Prithu Maharaj, when he was in all the citizens and ministers, when they established him, coronated him as the king, established him and glorified him in the ceremony of coronation. And then who came? The four Kumaras came. Four naked boys. The supreme brahmanas in the universe, they came. And Prithu Maharaj, although he was glorified by all kinds of reciters and who glorified the king and by his ministers, immediately raised up. And like somebody who is crazy for sense gratification, he rushed to the four Kumaras, and offered his dandava pranamas and invited them to his assembly to sit on the throne. And in front of everyone, he washed their feet, he sprinkled water over his own head, And he gave them all kinds of offerings. And he offered his own self, you know, to these Brahmanas. He told, my kingdom is useless. My kingdom is not mine. I want to offer it to you. It's your kingdom. Because the Brahmanas, they're in charge for everything. Although they don't take charge. But that is the mood. And then they offer it back. And they give guidelines to the king. So Indra, the lesson here, he acted wrongly due to his passion. Sometimes he becomes a little proud, little arrogant. You know how it is. Sometimes this passion overfloods our mentality. We forget our position and we think I'm the enjoyer here. And then when his own guru came, he forgot to offer him obeisance. He remained on his seat. He didn't even greeted him and received him, Swagatam, Swagatam, and offered him a seat or a welcome. No, nothing. He was completely silent. And that caused great offense and great trouble for him. He lost everything, all his power. Although the Brahmana, Brihaspati, he was a Brahmana, he was self-control. He was mind control, had mind control. He didn't become angry. So he thought, oh, my disciple, he's just, I know him. He's just a little in passionate mood today, but I still want to give him a lesson. So he hided himself. He went to his house or he hided somewhere. So Indra could not find him. Later on, immediately Indra understood, oh, I made a mistake. So, and he wanted to look for him everywhere, you know. He could not find him. So he was in trouble. He understood, without Brahmana, without my guru, what can I do? I am fool. I cannot do anything. He realized that. So I made a big mistake. So he regretted. And what actually happened is that the demigods became more and more weak. They lost the blessings of the Lord and his own guru, Brahmana. And the demons, who also worshipped Brahmana, Shukracharya, they became more and more powerful. Although many times they neglect. Then they become weak, and now this time they became very surrendered to the Brahmana, Shukracharya. They worshipped him, they followed all his instructions very precisely, and they get more and more powerful, more and more powerful, and they could conquer the demigods. That's how the story is. Everything comes from the blessing of Brahmana, from the spiritual authorities, because they are representative of the Supreme Lord. If we don't have their blessings, if we don't show respect, Guru Avagya, it's the first offense. If we disrespecting Guru, that's a very big offense. So the Bhagavatam teaches us again and again how everyone in the society have to show respect to Brahminical culture, because Krishna is Govinda, is the protector and the maintainer of Brahminical culture, the cows, and the Brahmanas and the Brahminical culture. Thank you very much. I'm stopping here. Some question? Yes? One moment, please. I have to switch my phone. I forgot to switch out my phone here. How did I do that? Okay, out. Good. Can you speak louder? Following? Yeah. I cannot hear. Can you come here and speak? I will repeat. Or you can speak here.
Could you explain a little bit about the difference between following someone and imitating them? Pretending to be more advanced than you are instead of following the example?
You have difficulties to follow somebody?
Like sometimes you might think that you're more advanced than you are because of your neophyte mentality. So I'm just wondering how to carefully distinguish that, okay, this is following, but this is imitating, so I shouldn't do this because I could fall down or I could...
There's nothing bad with imitation, because from very beginning of life you imitated something, not? When you were a child, you gradually you imitate everything what you learn, positive or negative. First from your parents, mother, then father, then your brothers, sisters, neighbor children who become your friends, schoolmates. Then later on in the school, the teachers. So we have to go, we have to imitate something. And especially the positive thing we should imitate. In the beginning, maybe this imitation, this is the process of sadhana. We imitate the example or the standard given by the liberated acharyas. You're not there now, so you cannot think, oh, I wait until I'm there. Right? Because if you think I have to come first on that place, you will never come. So you have to show some eagerness or some to follow a conduct, even if you don't understand properly in the beginning. Then with the time, it will become very practical, and you will realize, oh, this is helps me. It helps me to improve my life. Only fools disrespecting authority, not follow. Then what you are doing? You follow your mind, listening to your mind, your senses, to others whom you maybe consider Mahajana or great authority. You follow them, who are just servants of their senses in a very nice way, as you think. Everyone follows. People follow the pop stars, the movie stars, the politicians. Not so much nowadays anymore, but pop stars and musicians, they become now the big authorities in the modern world. And that shows, what is pop star and actor? Shudra. In the cast. Right? So that because they give you sense pleasure. They give you sense pleasure on the material platform. And therefore, they're considered Shudra. So nowadays, who are the authority who lead the societies? Are the Shudras. And to them, they like very much to follow. Because it seems to be very pleasant. Nice music, nice show, nice drama, nicely looking. Right? But maybe sadhu sometimes doesn't look so nice. He's not speaking so pleasant. Maybe not singing so pleasant. He's not a Gandharva. By the way, Gandharva should never trust nice singers. Be careful. Musicians and singers, we should not trust their Gandharvas. But we trust nowadays so much to Gandharvas and to Shudras. they're becoming authority because they give us entertainment for our sense pleasure, immediate sense pleasure. This is called chareyas, prayas, because you immediately can enjoy. But for shreya, to accept authority, that's not for me. I don't need. So, then why you went to school? You went to school because for shreyas, not? That you can get benefit later on. And you go out of school, that you can get a job, that you can earn money, that you can have a family, that you can have, that you can survive in this world. Right? So why you accept it? Why you accept it? Why you accept authority? We have no other chance. We have no other chance. We have to somehow or other accept authority. Otherwise we become anarchist. And that is anarchist, is that what is not wanted. So nowadays, so many want to become anarchists. But they ultimately become victim of their own whimsical nature of mind and senses, become dragged down, in materialistic consciousness, in ignorance. Anarchism is ignorance, pure. It's not natural. So we all have to cooperate. We all have to follow a system, voluntarily or by force. But the force authority, the authority who forces themselves upon you, they cannot ultimately correct you. It's temporary. But if we are understand with intelligence and with heart to follow, then that's very good, because that can give a change in heart. That is beneficial, ultimately beneficial. Right? Is this answering your question? I don't know. Huh? Okay. And I don't speak more about it. Have another one? No? Okay. Hare Krishna, Grantanaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Svain Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. Nitai Ko Premanandi Haribol.